Good afternoon. I see one square, it still says connecting to audio. So I'm going to give that square a minute to connect. Okay, great. My name is Marisha Childs. My pronouns are she, her. I'm the hearings officer for this matter. We are here today, Wednesday, June 18th, 2025. The time is 2:32 p.m. We are here on a tow appeal request hearing, cause number 1250110. The appellant's name is Brianna Ivy and Brianne Carter. And we're on Zoom. I see several squares with names and the city. So I was just going to first have people identify themselves for the record. I'm going to start with the square that says Brianna. If you can unmute yourself and identify yourself for the record, state and spell your first and last name and your pronouns, please.
Hello, I am Brianna Ivy. You said spell my first and last name?
I did.
B-R-I-A-N-N-A and Ivy, I-V-Y. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the renter of the dumpster in question.
Okay. Renter of dumpster. Do you have anything that shows that you rented the dumpster, any rental agreement?
I certainly think Brianne and I can offer some sort of documentation to prove I ordered it and was in charge of it.
Okay. I would need you to send that to the clerk. I hope you have it accessible because I would need to see that for the course of the hearing. So if you have that available, if you can send it to the clerk, I can give you their email address, even if it's just a picture of the thing.
Great. That sounds good. Brianne is the owner of the dumpster, so I'll defer to her on the paperwork portion. But
okay. Brianna. Okay. I'm sorry. I jumped ahead. The email address to email anything that shows that you were, that you're the authorized representative or the owner of the dumpster, have the authority to, you know, be providing any kind of testimony or about the dumpster. I just want to make sure that that's in the record. So the email office, the email address to send that information is in the chat. So if you can just send a picture of whatever you have to the clerk, that would be great, please.
Great. Will do. Thank you.
Uh-huh. Next, I'm going to go to Brianne. Brianne. Okay. Is Brianne not actually here? I'm going to go to David.
Hey, I'm the tow truck operator who did the impound.
Okay. I've never had a tow truck operator appear for these hearings, so can you please still identify yourself for the record, state and spell first and last name, your pronouns, and the tow company that you work for?
My name's David Isaac, D-A-V-I-D, last name I-S-A-A-K. I'm a he, him. And I work for Northwestern Towing.
Okay. There's a phone number that ends in 8843. Can the phone unmute yourself and identify yourself for the record, please? Okay, having no response from...
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't... So it's actually, this is Brianne. I couldn't get my audio to work on my computer.
Okay.
And then I didn't know how to unmute it, sorry.
So you're Brianne, you're not actually on the computer, you're on your phone.
Correct. Sorry about that.
Can you just identify yourself, please, for the record?
Yes.
State and spell your first and last name and your pronouns, please.
Yes. My name is Brianne Carter, B-R-I-A-N-N-E. D-A-R-T-E-R. Pronouns are she, her.
And you're the owner of this dumpster?
I am the assistant manager. So I could send you over an invoice showing that they've rented the drop box if you'd like.
That would be great.
Yeah,
please.
Absolutely.
The email address is in the chat.
Okay, I'll send that right over.
Thank you. Thank you. Next, I'm going to go to Jay Jarmer.
Good afternoon. My name is Joshua Jarmer. That's J-O-S-H-U-A-J-A-R-M-E-R. I'm employed by the City of Portland as a parking code enforcement officer, and he and him are my pronouns.
All right. Thank you. All right. Again, my name is Marisha Childs. I'm the hearings officer, and I work in the hearings office. The hearings office is charged with independently reviewing decisions of other city bureaus to make sure those decisions comply with the code. And in this case, that means reviewing the decision to tow this dumpster, make sure that decision complies with the code. This hearing is being audio recorded, although we're on Zoom, and I can see faces and squares if cameras are on. Cameras don't need to be on, but I always appreciate if I can see who it is I'm speaking with. But it's not the video that is being preserved, it's just the audio. The audio of these proceedings will be available on the city's website within the next 2 to 3 days after the conclusion of this hearing. I am neutral. I have nothing to do with PBOT or this towing company. And as I've said, my role is simply to review to make sure that the decision to tow this dumpster complies with the code. My authority in these cases is limited. I'm limited to deciding whether the tow is valid, invalid, or otherwise unjustified. The code requires that I find a tow valid if 2 requirements are met. The procedural notice requirements have been satisfied, and 2, the person ordering the tow followed all relevant rules and procedures. I have scrolled through this case. I use the same online case filing system that's available to the parties, and I do see a citation. So any citation that you received will not be addressed here today. I do see there is a citation. Looks like it was Exhibit 14. That citation will need to be addressed within Multnomah County Circuit Court. I have scrolled through this case, and I see that there are 20 documents that have been uploaded. These 20 documents are basically like sitting on a counter right now. They're not part of the record, but I would like to make them part of the record by admitting them into this case. Is there any objection to me admitting Exhibits 1 through 20 into the record? I'm just going to start I'm just speaking primarily to the parties, and so that would mean Brianne, Brianna, and Mr. Jarmer. Is there any objection to me admitting Exhibits 1 through 20 into the record?
No.
Thank you. I heard Mr. Jarmer say no. I think I heard Brianna say no. I believe I heard Brianne say no.
Correct.
Okay, great. In that case, I'm going to admit Exhibits 1 through 20 into the record. Next, what I'm going to do is get whoever is testifying sworn in so we can get some testimony. If I can, get you to raise your right hand, and if I can't see you, Brianne, just let me know when your hand is raised, and I'll just take it on good authority that your hand is raised.
Hand is raised.
Do you swear or affirm that the testimony you provide today in this matter will be the truth and the whole truth? If that is so, say I do. Brianna, Ivy.
I do.
Thank you. You can put your hand down. Brianne Carter.
I do.
Great. David Isaac.
I do.
Great. Jay Jarmer.
I do.
Great. Thank you so much. Okay, so this matter was bifurcated into 2, meaning it was split into 2 parts to first kind of address the ownership of this dumpster, and I understand that Brianne is the owner, or at the very least, the authorized representative. Brianne, can you tell me what your role is and as it relates to this dumpster?
Yes. We're the ones that delivered the box, and then we also received a call to have the box moved on the 10th. And so I'm just here just in case they need me. I didn't speak with anyone from the city or anything like that, but I I'm here if you guys need, I guess, any confirmation that we delivered the box. We were scheduled to go and respot the box the following day, so on the 11th, but it looks like it got moved before then.
So what, were you able to send the clerk like a rental agreement that Brianna Ivy was renting the box and had the authorization to rent the box?
Sure. We don't have a rental agreement, but I do have, our invoice for this particular box isn't generating until July, so I'm going to send over the original delivery ticket that we had. And then I didn't know what else you would need for that, if you need an older invoice to see that they've had boxes with us, they still have boxes with us in the past.
No, I just really need to know that Brianna Ivy was the authorized user of the box, that you knew that everybody was on board. You know, I just want to make sure, because of course the problem could be whatever happens at this hearing, that what does it say, is the authorized representative Metro or Multnomah, I don't even know what it said, I'd have
Multnomah
to scroll back
County
up.
Dropbox,
that one, Multnomah, thank you, Multnomah County Dropbox, like Multnomah County Dropbox. Like, what I don't want to have happen is that we move forward with this entire hearing, and then Multnomah County Dropbox later comes and says, whoa, 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 what happened? We didn't know anything about this. Why do you all have this hearing and we weren't involved? Why did we not know? That's, of course, what I don't want to happen. So that's why, I imagine that's why you are here, correct, Brianne?
Correct. I'm with Multnomah County Dropbox.
Okay. And your role with them is that you are the, what did you say?
Assistant manager.
Okay. And then you have seen, you knew that Brianna Ivy was renting, you were aware, knew that Brianna Ivy was renting this Dropbox.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Great. Perfect. Thank you. I still want you to send that stuff, but at least I as long as I feel like I can move forward without feeling like, I screwed up. I don't want that to happen. So if you could still send that, I would really appreciate that, Ms. Carter.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I will, anticipating that that is going to show up, I'm going to make a finding that at least, Brianna Ivy, I'm sorry, I just have a hard time because your name is Brianna and the other one is Brianne, and I just, so my brain, so I'm sorry if I'm stumbling. Brianna, you are the moving party. This was your dumpster that you rented and it was towed. So can you please tell me why you believe that this tow was invalid?
Yes. Well, unfortunately, I am also just kind of a messenger because I physically was not present when, I don't know your first name, Jarmer, was on site. So basically, my understanding is there was a request for us to move the dumpster by the end of the day, which is the slightly unfortunate semantic issue because it was moved by the end of our day. However, now I think the issue is that it was not moved by the end of Jarmer's day, so we have to work that out. But it was placed too close to the corner, which we're not contesting. We agree it was unsafe as close to the corner as it was. I have now submitted photos that sort of show the reference point of where it got moved to before the end of the day. And when the dumpster, or sorry, when the tow truck was there picking it up, there are conveniently spray-painted markings on the ground so you can see the reference location between where the box was and where it got moved to.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, my understanding is that we complied to the best of our ability. However, we're given a pretty confusing window of time to make this happen, which was about 3 hours. And in the grand scheme of towing things, it's a little wild to think that anything could be moved within 3 hours without not a lot of heads up was given. And we were actually luckily informed by a city inspector who had absolutely no reason to need to inform us, but is actually who called us to say, hey, there's somewhat of like an altercation or something going on with the Keybot officer and the excavation team. Just want to let you know something is happening here. Can you try to call the dumpster company? So I'm the one who let the dumpster company know that there was an issue with the placement of the box. As far as I understand, and Brian can correct me if I'm wrong, no one ever reached out to them other than me. So we scrambled as quickly as we possibly could to get the dumpster moved. But again, we had literal hours of notice. And I have submitted reference photos that show that it was moved. So we're just trying to understand how we could have prevented this. Mm-hmm. And also, in theory, have the tow fee waived, if possible.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Ivy. Mr. Jarmer, can you please tell me why you towed this? I mean, obviously I'm going to understand why you towed it, because it's blocking the view, it's obstructing the view. But please tell me why, can you speak to the why you believe that this tow is valid, and also address the miscommunication that Ms. Ivy has identified?
Certainly. So, give me just a second.
If you could just speak from your memory rather than reading your report, because I can read your report and I see your report, but I want to hear from you, less so reading directly from your report, if you can, please.
And do you mind if I ask why you want me to directly read or say
why
something?
I don't want you to read from your report, you mean?
Yes, because I didn't realize that we were having this tow hearing until yesterday at 4:20 in the afternoon, and so I spent all day writing this out and have used my whole work day to facilitate this, and it's taken a lot of my mental capability because there are a lot of nuances in this tow hearing, thus the reason why the tow truck driver is here.
Uh-huh.
So what I can tell you, if you want me to, we can cut it kind of short, but
okay.
So I received an SR at about 10:45 a.m. I arrived on the scene at 11 a.m. When I received the initial SR, I was told that it was a dump truck, not a dumpster. So when I arrived and saw that it was a dumpster, we have protocol here at parking enforcement that it costs a ton of money to tow something with this weight. So our procedure at parking enforcement is, if it's a dumpster or a canister, we have to do our due diligence to be able to try to notify somebody. And usually it's a name on the side of the canister, a phone number that's advertising. I walked around it several times. There are markings on the dumpster, but nothing that has a phone number or a name of the business that owns the dumpster. So fortunately, that's where the inspector came in, and he was inspecting the house for the work, and he was the one that called the project manager for the project, Chris. It's in what you read, because he was giving him information about the house and the inspection. And so he put his phone on speakerphone. I identified myself as Joshua Jarmer, parking code enforcement officer with the city of Portland. I explained that the dumpster was too close to the intersection and causing a hazard. He asked me if I could give him 24 hours to remove the dumpster. And I informed him that would be way too long, because right now, technically, I could tow this dumpster right now due to that it is blocking view at intersection and causing a hazard. Now, internally, parking enforcement has the procedure of trying to notify the owner, the renter, whoever is using it, so that they don't incur these large fees that happen. So I notified, I talked to the project manager, notified him that by the end of my workday, which is 4 p.m., that I would have to tow that vehicle. I explained to him that it is in violation. I don't want to tow it, so if you could please move it, because I know it will cost a lot of money. And by him asking me for 24 hours, he didn't understand the severity of the hazard. And while I was there, I observed vehicles that were not able to see human traffic walking across the street, or cars that were coming down the street, because that's what blocking view is basically when you come up to an intersection, you need to have time to be able to see if there's a car coming, or if it's blocking a stop sign, or if there's a human trying to cross the street, they have to go out into the street, which they could be hit because the vehicle cannot see them. Now, unfortunately, this street that the dumpster was on, there was no stop sign there, so they could keep going straight. And the other street, which was Harrison, had a stop sign, and so those people would stop, but if they could not see the cars coming from 34th, then they would go thinking there's no cars, thus the interaction of the blocking view at intersection.
Mm-hmm.
So I drove back by it at about 2 p.m., so let me go back to the phone conversation. I informed the inspector that I will give him till the end of my workday, which is 4 p.m., to move the vehicle. He thanked me for giving him time to move the vehicle, or I'm sorry, move the dumpster. And so I went on my routine patrol, came back by at 2 o'clock. Dumpster was still in violation. I thought, shoot, because I wanted to drive by to see if they were able to move it so that then I could close out the SR and not have to tow it. So I arrived back at the dumpster at 3:41, noticed that it was still in violation. And at this time, well, in the phone conversation, I notified the project manager that it needed to be at least 50 feet back from the intersection. And so when I arrived back at the scene, dumpster was still in violation. I put a case number on it due to the fact that it didn't have a license plate, and took five photos showing the canister in violation, blocking the view at intersection, showing how close it was to the intersection, and showing how it is blocking the view of the street that's intersecting the cross street of that intersection. At that time, I ordered the tow, and that was at 3:51. I get off work at 4:30. I'm off shift at 4, or at least out of the field at 4. Tow truck driver did not show up, I believe, until 6:45. Is what ARES, our program that deals with tows, didn't show up till 6:45 due to the fact that it is a larger truck that they have to use, and it's called Gerlach, and they specifically tow large trucks like semis and dumpsters like this, and there are not a lot of large trucks to tow, so it takes a while, and that's why even if it wasn't a blocking view, or if you have a semi that you're trying to tow, we rarely call those in because we know it takes 2 to 3 to 4 hours because of this backup. And most likely by the time we're towing something of that nature, it's already gone. So in this situation, I knew one that it was still there. Tow truck driver showed up at 6:45 and didn't actually clear it until 8:31, I believe. So in retrospect, that is from 11 a.m. when I talked to the project manager all the way almost to 9 o'clock, which is 10 hours. And in 10 hours, that canister was sitting at the corner blocking the view, causing a hazard. Obviously, there was no major accidents there. So technically, I could have towed that canister right away due to the fact that it is a hazard. It's only our procedures and why we go out of our way to do our due diligence to approach somebody, find somebody that can and possibly will move that canister.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I was told is that they came, they moved the canister back. Unfortunately, they didn't move it the 50 feet required. And so I don't know exactly which exhibit number it is, but you should have a piece of paper like this that has the Multnomah County map on it.
Let me look. So this was something that was uploaded by parking enforcement?
Affirmative.
Let's see, I think it must be exhibit 18. Oh, yes. Tax map?
Yes. And so I would like to direct your attention to the intersection of Southeast.
Hold on, I'm going to put this on the screen so we can see it. Okay, so go ahead.
And if you scroll down to the intersection of Southeast 34th and Harrison, where the drop box was located.
34th.
Which should be down on the...
down here.
Yep, right there. And I don't know if you can zoom in or not, but this is the tax paperwork. That lot, the dimensions of it on Southeast 34th are exactly 50 feet long. So unfortunately, they did not move the canister as far as I told them they needed to move. And if they would have moved it to the length that I told them to move it to, it would be blocking their neighbor's driveway plus their house.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how we know that the canister was not moved out of violation. And so that's why it is still a valid tow. And one of the other points that I need to bring up is that there were no barricades delineating this structure being on a public right-of-way. So I would like to ask the appellants if they actually applied for the proper permits to have on this public right-of-way, because that is also another serious violation that we can tow instantly for. Because in order to put something of this nature on the public right-of-way, you're required to get a permit through the city. So, and I, in closing, I understand that they thought they did their due diligence by moving it. I gave them up to 9 hours. They unfortunately didn't move it properly out of violation. And so then the tow truck driver is in the right because he removed the canister, even though it had been moved, it had not been moved properly 50 feet back from the intersection. Thus the reason why it was still towed.
Okay. So, Mr. Jarmer, can you tell me what was the code provision that you relied upon in towing this dumpster? Because I, as I think we all agree, that this is not a vehicle. So is there a provision that specifically addresses a dumpster, tow of a dumpster?
Well, it's technically... it's one of those things where if it has wheels on it, it's considered a vehicle. For instance, houselessness, when we have to remove their little tiny homes because now they have little rollers on the bottom of them, they're considered a moving entity. And so we have to wait the 3 days and go through the process that we do with the abandoned auto and the VIT. So with the dumpster having wheels on it, it's still, technically, it is not a vehicle, but it is considered something that is obstructing the right-of-way. I can give you the Title 16 that gives us the ability to tow.
Okay. Well, I know where in the code there is the authority to tow. I guess I'm just, I'm kind of concerned about this not being a vehicle, and I'm looking at the code that does define a vehicle as every device in, upon, or by which any person or property is or may be transported or drawn upon any street or highway. Bicycle is more specifically defined in 1690.025. So step one, it's not a vehicle, and that definition didn't even mention anything about the wheels. Like, I know that's what you've just identified, that if it has wheels, then it's considered a vehicle. But I also see that Dropbox is included in here.
Anything in the public right-of-way that's not permitted to be there that is in violation of Title 16, which doesn't always have to be a vehicle. It could also be a mound of dirt. It could be bark dust that somebody is putting into their house. Anything that goes on the public right-of-way is required to have a permit and is also required to follow the rules of Title 16.
Okay. So I see there's a definition for a drop box.
Okay.
So a drop box is defined in the code as a container in which trash or any other refuse material is temporarily stored or collected for the purposes of Title 16. Here we go. A drop box will be considered a vehicle in terms of parking provisions and restrictions. Perfect. Great. That's what I was looking for. So it really is, it doesn't seem like it has anything to do with the wheels, but it's just as it's being considered. So, Mr. Jarmer, you also mentioned the necessity for a permit. We're not here about whether or not the appellant got a permit to have a dumpster. So that's really something that's separate and apart from the proceedings which we are here today.
Okay. Can I ask a question, too? I just heard you reference that there's a 72-hour window for vehicles. Why wouldn't we be given a 72-hour window?
It's a 72-hour window for DIT, which is people that live in vehicles or abandon vehicles.
So not, are you saying that not, this was considered...
Not
this, are you saying that this not, is...
Yeah.
That this dumpster drop box is considered a vehicle. Fine. Code says, yes, we will treat this as a vehicle for all intents and purposes. And so you are saying that this vehicle was towed as a hazard, and that's why they didn't have the notice that you have, you know, either 24 hours or 72 hours, because it presented a hazard. And so it sounds like it's the city's position that this had to be towed immediately because it placed others at risk.
Correct.
Okay.
Would it be okay for me to ask a few more questions?
Yes.
So, well, there's a couple things I just need a clarification on. Number one, we have submitted photos. There's photos that prove there is the phone number of the dumpster company all over the dumpster. Mm-hmm. So Mr. Jarmer saying that he did his due diligence trying to find the phone number is unfortunately just blatantly not true.
Okay.
Number two, the unique thing about this, well, let me go back and just say, if the complaint was about a dump truck, there were several dump trucks on site. So it is a little bit unfortunate that the complaints were about the dump trucks that did not belong to us. They belonged to the site next door, and yet somehow we ended up being involved in the neighbor complaint. So that I am not contesting that the dumpster was in an unsafe place. 100% we are on board with that, which is why we agreed to move it. However, it does seem like we were sort of just wrong place, wrong time kind of situation when we were not what was being complained about. Number three, or whatever I'm on at this point, this is a corner lot, obviously. We just saw the tax lot.
Mm-hmm.
We have a dumpster placed on each side of the lot. I have also submitted a photo of the other dumpster measuring how far that one is from the corner, and I think that this might have caused a lot of the confusion. Mr. Jarmer told the crew on site that the box that is still to this day currently located on Harrison was a safe distance from the corner, and I measured it at 25 feet from the corner. So I think what happened is that it's very possible that the team that moved the dumpster was sort of referencing that we were told the other one was okay where it is. It's 25 feet from the corner. They dragged it to as far as they could on the lot because we're, you know, technically not allowed to put a dumpster in front of a neighboring property. So they moved it as far as they could, which got us about 30 feet from the corner, not mm-hmm. the full 50 feet, which I understand was why the tow was still put in place. Mm-hmm. However, you have to understand people balancing a bunch of different details. If we were told one dumpster was fine and safe, that matching it logically, for people that don't exactly know the code, made sense to us. However, mm-hmm. I'm just trying to understand basically how to avoid this in the future, but also just, you know, whether or not we actually, because in no way were we trying to be insubordinate. Everybody was absolutely trying to do what they were supposed to do, so.
Okay. I believe you. I believe you. I don't believe you were just trying to, like, really stick it to the city with a dumpster. That would be weird, but, you know, stranger things have happened, I imagine. And the beauty is, it doesn't even matter whether you were trying to or not, you know, like, for my purposes, I am not even, it doesn't even matter if you were or were not, but I believe you. If it makes you feel better for this hearing, then I don't think that you were trying anything shady. I believe you.
I just, I was told, and this is, you know, I apologize if this creates awkwardness, I was told Mr. Jarmer started threatening to just put tickets on people's cars. It sounds like it was a pretty serious altercation on the street. Mm-hmm. And so I believe we were basically accused of being insubordinate at that time. So I am trying to make it clear that that was in no one's intention.
Sure. I believe there was, you know what, Mr. Jarmer, I think often happens when we hear people say something that we're like, whoa, I didn't feel like I was that way, that we instantly all feel like we have to respond. But again, just like Ms. Ivy was saying, like I wasn't trying to do a thing, that doesn't matter for me. It doesn't even matter for me whether or not you were or were not any kind of spat with anybody. It's really irrelevant to this matter because I don't care if you were. That doesn't affect whether or not the tow is valid. That's the beauty. The only reason we're here is whether or not this tow is valid. It's not about whether or not you all had a pleasant interaction and you all want to hang out together. Who cares if you don't want to hang out? So I do see the images, and I do see that Ms. Ivy, you don't deny that this did create a bit of a risk. The location of the dumpster, like, it just created an unsafe situation for drivers and pedestrians at that intersection. It certainly is difficult for you to move this 50 feet if the whole lot is only 50 feet. You wouldn't have been able to move it 50 feet and have it. It's like you were just really in a pickle, shall we say.
Yeah. And the only option to have it fully removed was by 6 a.m., like the Brian's company removing it at 6 a.m. the next day. So, yeah, we only had the option to move it temporarily and then get it fully removed the next day, which we did. It is gone. I mean, obviously mm-hmm. it got towed, but we would have. It was scheduled to just be removed.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't imagine that Mr. Isaac, I don't know if I need any testimony from Mr. Isaac. I understand what Mr. Jarmer is saying about the difficulty of removing something this size and needing to, like, call in reinforcements to make this happen. I believe that. And I believe that Mr. Isaac probably towed it. It's gone. He said he was the tower. I believe that. So thank you for being here, Mr. Isaac. I'm sorry you don't get a whole lot to say other than introducing yourself for purposes of the record.
I've just been holding my tongue. I understood why it was being towed when I got there, being as there were almost a couple accidents while I was loading it because of where it was. It was about 30 feet from the stop sign, but when you're going at speed at 25 miles an hour through a residential neighborhood, which is the posted speed limit, and you have 25 feet to stop, it does create a hazard, especially if you have to cut off 10 feet for the crosswalk. And so I'm just here to validate the location of it. I wasn't sure if it was moved. There were two dumpsters there. One was on the exiting side of an intersection. One was on the entrance side of an intersection. So I towed the one that was ticketed, which was on the entrance side. So I believe that's why there was no issue with the other dumpster. So I have pictures of where my truck was when I loaded it. We have references for the distance it was away from the intersection, all that stuff. But I was just told that I needed to be here at 1:30 today, and so I got myself up out of bed and showed up.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I appreciate you being here. Yes, there a few unfortunate things happened. Ms. Ivy believed she had more time than she did her best, and I believe you did your best. I believe that is true, that you did your best to try to get this out of the way. And it was, Mr. Jarmer said at the end of the day, it maybe there was some miscommunication about like what that day means. Be that as it may, I do find that the tow is validly authorized. I do find that the placement of this dumpster did create a hazard for others, drivers, pedestrians. There is a code provision that was provided by the city. It's 1620.130, prohibited in specified places. It says, except when specifically directed by authority of this title or when necessary to avoid conflict with other traffic, it's unlawful to park or stop a vehicle, which we've already agreed that this, for purposes of this hearing, is a vehicle, It's unlawful to park or stop a vehicle in any of the following places: within 50 feet of an intersection when the vehicle or a view obstructing attachment to the vehicle is more than 6 feet in height. The vehicle design modification or load obscures the visibility or view of approaching traffic, any traffic control sign, any traffic control signal, or any pedestrian in a crosswalk. So, I do find that this dumpster did obscure the visibility and view. And I do feel that the tow was properly authorized. That means, Ms. Ivy, that you do remain responsible for the towing and storage charges. I wasn't trying. I appreciate, but the code is very black and white. It's very like, it's either this or it's that. And it was this. It was a big thing. It was blocking. It had to be towed for the safety of others. So I do find the tow is validly authorized. So what happens next? And I really appreciate all of you coming and spending time and explaining on this, because this is not my typical tow hearing. A tow hearing typically is a vehicle. A vehicle, the kind that you drive, not the kind that you just go put stuff in. So this was, I appreciate putting a little bit of time and effort into this. Thank you, Mr. Jarmer. I understand what you're saying, that yes, this is at the end of your day. Your brain was done. You are maxed out mentally. I get that. And yet you still managed to power through. And for that, I thank you. It's in storage. So that's why you didn't find out until yesterday, right? Because that's how in-storage tows show up. You know, they must happen within a certain time frame.
The day after.
Okay, so what happens next is I will write an order that is consistent with my findings here today. That order will be sent to the parties in the same way they receive notice of this hearing. That order will also provide how to appeal if you disagree with my findings. And that will come, like I said, it will come to you the same way you receive notice of the hearing via email. Does anybody have any questions about anything I have said?
My only closing thought is, like, if I can just make an ask that you actually do call the dumpster companies and the dumpster phone numbers, I think that this all could have been avoided if the due diligence that keeps being referenced had actually been done. And so it is very frustrating to continue to be told that there was an attempt to call the dumpster company when we know for sure that did not happen. It is in the photos. You can see that the phone number is very clearly written on the dumpster. So okay. I think just speaking for Brian as the person who would have to deal with this if it happened to anyone else, you know, I think they would really appreciate actually being told. And I understand it is not the law. You do not have to call them. However, it's expensive, as we discussed. I think it would be a really good idea to just allow people to move their own property if you actually gave them a call. That would have drastically reduced all of the stress for everyone over the past week. So,
and I would, sorry. Oh.
Do you mind if I respond, please?
That's fine. I was just going to say I agree with what she said. If we'd been called, I could have had a driver come in on overtime, send him out there, and there wouldn't be any of this, you know, just a communication error or playing, you know, telephone with the timing and when we needed to have it out there. Because we would have, if we knew there was a certain time frame we had to have it out, I would have called someone in on, you know, on overtime and had them go out there and get it out of there in time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Jarmer.
The appellant asked how this could be avoided in the future. And this is why I brought up the permits, because if they would have applied for a permit to have this structure on the public right of way, they would have seen the rules for structures over 6 feet tall, and they would have known where to have placed it. So for them to put the lack of communication on PBOT is not right, because they did not go through the proper channel to get their permit, to get the information they needed to be in compliance. So that's all I had to say to respond to that. I understand that it is very frustrating and it is a lot of money, and that's why we don't tow something like this instantly like we legally can. And after that, I thank you for your time today.
All right. Thank you. I think we all got a little bit of something out of that. Thank you all for your time. Thank you for appearing and offering testimony about this. And hopefully this is the last time that happens. But thank you so much. And with that, we're going to go off the record.